Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, my brother.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you very much, Pastor. And for those of you who don't know, the segment is called Ask a Pastor, and we're asking Pastor Eric Ticciaro, who's going to be talking to us about answering our question for today. If you have a question as well that is baffling you, that is bothering you, this is your slot. Send it to my producer, send it on WhatsApp, and I'll forward it to my producer. She'll find you a pastor, and the pastor will answer your question. It doesn't really matter. As long as it has to do with our faith, bring it. And our pastors are already equipped, trained, and ready to answer your questions. So our question for today is it acceptable for churches to spend money on lavish buildings instead of charity work? You'll remember that last week we did ask this question, but we were not able to get a full response because we were not able to access our pastor for last week. So we're repeating the question so that can be able to have a full and comprehensive, conclusive answer to our question. Is it acceptable for churches to spend money on lavish buildings instead of charity work? Pastor Ticciaro?
Right. Thank you very much for this beautiful question. Well, if we are to honestly answer that question, we have to know that as a people of God, when people give funds to the church, these funds, they come in different denominations, as for departments, for different purposes and objectives. First of all, we have to agree that according to Haggai 1 verse 4, it is not a sin to build a beautiful church for God.
Right.
It is not a sin. Yes, that's what Haggai 4, 1 verse 4 teaches us, that God desires that his house be more fashioned than our own houses.
Which house would that be? Would that be a church or a temple? I imagine when Haggai was writing, there were no churches. And quite frankly, I don't know if there were buildings called churches during Bible times. I can understand if he's referring to his house, the sanctuary that was built in the wilderness and later in brick and mortar by Solomon. So which house is God referring to when he is inspiring Haggai to write?
Okay, when Haggai was writing this, he was referring to the temple of the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
But in our modern times now, we no longer have one center of worship. God has allowed us to build houses in his name, which are now the same as that old time temple sanctuary.
So where do we get that in the Bible, Pastor?
Hello?
Where do we get that in the Bible? If you're suggesting that now we have churches who are replacing or doing the same job as the old time temple, where in the scripture do we ever get that? Quite frankly, Jesus never attended a temple or a church. Paul never attended a church, as we have church building. Peter never attended a church building. None of the apostles or the bishops who were there ever attended church building. So where in the Bible do we ever find out that we need to be building church buildings? They were worshiping in houses and homes, right? Not in church buildings. Where in the Bible do we get that from?
Okay. In the Bible, they never specifically used the word church. Absolutely. As we use it today.
Right.
They used the word synagogue to refer to a house of worship.
Absolutely.
Which translates to a church today. So yes, in the Bible, we can find that on Luke chapter 4, verse 7 and 13. Also the popular verse, Luke 4, verse 16 and 31, which tells us that even Jesus used to go to the synagogue, which translates to a church today. John chapter 4, you find Jesus talking with that woman.
Sorry, Pastor. Can we please read these verses that you're quoting, not just refer to them? But remember, we're trying to educate our listener, and I personally am being educated right now. So I'd rather we read the text and not just refer to it. Just tell us the first one, please.
All right. I'll say the verse and read it out loud here.
Okay.
Luke chapter 4, I'll read verse 15.
Okay.
Yes, so if you open Luke 4, verse 15, it says that Jesus taught in the synagogues, that
right.
is the church.
Right.
He went to the church and he taught there, right? Then if we read Luke 4, verse 16, it says Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to read as his custom was.
Right.
So the custom of Jesus was to go to the church or to the synagogue every Sabbath. You can also find that on Luke chapter 7, verse 5. Luke 7, verse 5 says, the people of Capernaum praised a centurion for building their synagogue. A centurion was used by God to build a synagogue, which translates again to a church for the people of Capernaum. Then in the book of Acts, you can find on Acts chapter 15, verse 21, it tells us that Moses was read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. That's Acts 15, verse 21. So it is telling us that in the New Testament, the people would go to church, they would sit. When we say Moses was read, we are referring to the writings of Moses, the Torah, the Old Testament books
right,
that were written
right,
by Moses.
Right.
They were being and studied in the church. So the gathering and worshiping of Christians in the church, you know,
Sorry, Pastor. Yes. You have read all texts that refer to a synagogue. I was looking for texts that instruct us to build them. You're not going to find in the scriptures, both Old Testament or New Testament, where rabbinic traditions are translated to be God's instructions. The building of synagogues were merely a substitute for the temples. Quite frankly, other Jews refer to a synagogue as a shul, and others refer to it as a temple. Never again do you find rabbinic instructions being referred to as God's instructions. I need to know, where does God ever instruct the building of churches? And I'm distinguishing clearly between the two, because synagogues were subsidiary branches of a temple, and they were supposed to do the same things they did at a temple, but they did not. That's why Jesus turned the tables. What they did at the temple was not what we do at our churches. At the temple, they did what Levitical order had to do. They were doing sacrificial services, and that's why during the Roman Empire taking over Jerusalem, they infiltrated it with trade, and Jesus objected to it and turned the tables, revolted to the how what was supposed to be a temple was no longer a temple or a place of sacrifices, but for something else. All of this history is clearly articulated in our scriptures, but us, we don't have it in scripture where we are told to build what we are calling churches today. And if that is true, where do we get that from?
Okay. We have to understand the concept of why did God say people should build him a tabernacle.
Absolutely.
Now, if we understand the concept that God said in Exodus 25, when he was instructing Moses to build the first sanctuary,
right?
He said, my purpose for that sanctuary is that I would dwell among people.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So we ask ourselves this question again. Does God in our modern times not want to dwell among us? And if he does, where will his name be dedicated to be? And as a people of God, we ask ourselves the same question again. Is it wrong to have a place of worship, as we find, you know, on John chapter 4, verse 20 to 24, when that Samaritan woman was talking to Jesus, she said, my our fathers taught us to worship in the mountain, but you say we go in Jerusalem to the synagogue. So where should we worship? And what there, Jesus made it clear there that it's not about the place of worship or
absolutely,
wherever you are, but the presence of God in worshiping in truth and spirit. But then we're saying, as a people of God, we must have a safe environment to gather and worship God. The Bible has told us that in the New Testament, they were never instructed to build a sanctuary or a temple,
yes,
because it was already there in Jerusalem. There was centralization of worship, remember, until Calvary. They were a chosen nation. But now when the gospel came to the Gentiles, the promises that were given to the Jews when they were a chosen nation now apply to us all as God's people. Surely you don't expect me to travel from Africa to go to Israel so that I can be in the house of God. Because God has a house
Let me remind you, Pastor, even when Solomon was dedicating the first temple, and I shudder to imagine who dedicated the second and the third ones, but that's a conversation for another day. When Solomon was dedicating the first temple, after the building of the first temple, Solomon did make that abundantly clear that you don't really need to be in Jerusalem in order for your prayer to be heard. The Bible declares that Solomon did say that even when they are wherever they are in the world, when they pray facing in the direction of Jerusalem, you must hear their prayer. So really, I hold the view, Mfundisi, that 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19 simply answers your question very plainly. If the temple was no longer that which was, discontinued, then we have 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 as temples now, not lavish buildings. Again, I submit we don't have scriptural support for building structures. Nowhere do you find an injunction by Peter, Paul, or Yeshua to build buildings with the money that we gather. It is strictly and for any other purpose, but for charity, isn't it, Pastor?
All right. I'm getting you. I'm getting you well. Well, we have to acknowledge that Jesus doesn't want us to be exposed to the weather hazards when we got to worship.
I like that. That's a good assumption there.
That's going to be Matthew 24, verse 20 there. As much as we do
Let's read Matthew 4, verse 20. Yes, what does it say, Mfunis?
All right. It says, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath or on the winter. When Christ mentioned the winter day, he is showing that he considers his people not to be affected by, they need to be protected from this weather, since now.
That says nothing about the church building, church buildings though, Pastor.
Yeah, when we build a church, it gives us physical protection, even in the winter, in the rainy, or the sun, you know, we need that protection. Anyways.
But that's not what Jesus said though, Pastor. Jesus never said, a church is for protecting people from the elements. I mean, God was protecting his people in the wilderness with the fire by night and the cloud by day. He does not need. And that, by the way, that protection by God was not by way of the sanctuary, which way they would disassemble and assemble at times. No, from the elements, it was the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Nowhere do you find Christ suggesting that to mitigate against the elements, the weather, seasonal weathers, we should build church buildings. There is no scripture that says that, is there, Pastor?
As much as there is no scripture which says build the churches, there is also no scripture which says don't. You see,
you're absolutely right. You're right, Mfundisi. You're right.
So we cannot say we have to discontinue this, but the Bible never said discontinue. What was actually discontinued, according to the Bible, was the system of sacrifices, but not the value of God's
house. The Levitical system, absolutely, absolutely. Yes. So when it began with the Catholic Church and its cathedrals, where did the Catholic Church do? Because we are still following in our mother, the Catholic Church. We're still building beautiful buildings like they did. And their reasons are totally dissimilar from the reasons you're suggesting now. So I ask again, why did we do it to begin with? If we never had an injunction to do it, why did we do it?
Okay. When Solomon built the first temple.
Not the temple, the churches. The churches, Mfundisi. I'm referring to churches. Why did we build churches? Because churches are not temples and temples are not churches. These are two different structures built for two different purposes, instructed by two different beings. And I'm suggesting the idea and the concept of church buildings flows from the Catholic movement. It does not flow from the scriptures or any injunction by God. My question is, when we built churches, not temples, churches, or cathedrals as they all began, where did we get that from? Why are we following a tradition that has no biblical basis?
This is where I am trying to clarify that when we say a temple, in the Bible, it was a place of worship where people would bring their sacrifices and have communion with God.
Right.
That system in the New Testament, the only thing we find that it was discontinued was the system of sacrifices. So when Christ now died on Calvary and brought an end to it, the Catholic trying to take over Christianity, that's when they decided that, you know, they must build these beautiful churches in the name of their saints as much as they would do.
Right.
Or for the intentions or reasons which they have. But basically, if the church was to be built, the pattern in the Bible, when Solomon was building the house of the Lord, we are told that it had to be dedicated to the name of God. So as a people of God, we cannot refuse or reject the idea of having a place of worship. It is not a pagan nature to have a place of worship. It is something that we also see in the Bible, that there was the sanctuary, and then later there was the temple where people would come to commune with God. The purpose of the church still tends to be the same. It is a house where people come together to gather and commune with God.
Let me follow your train of thought, Infonis. Let me follow your train of thought that says the temple is the modern day church. I'm okay with following that train of thought if that is what the pastor is insisting on. When God instructed the building of the sanctuary, there was a pattern, a design for how it's supposed to be. We don't follow that today. When God instructed the temple worship, the worship itself was instructive in that only men were admissible in that sanctuary, not women. To function in any and every other way, the functions admitted in the sanctuary were exclusively gender specific, and that gender was a male gender. Today we have female practitioners in these buildings we call temple light. So I respectfully suggest that we need to retrace our steps. We seem to be practicing pagan worship if God is going to instruct temples to be built in this way, but we build them in any other design. God instructs that people who are going to serve at a temple are going to be men, Levites, not just any man like myself or yourself. You have to descend from the house of Levi, and we do anything. Anyone can just go to school and be elected an elder or a deacon or deaconess and serve at these buildings we call churches. All of these things that we're doing right now are in direct diabolical contradiction to what the temple worship was all instructed to be. Again, I ask, what exactly are we doing? I mean, are we not supposed to be using that money building these unbiblically based buildings into charity work? That's what Paul and Peter did. They collected the money and they used it for charity work, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. They did that and used the money for charity work.
Never for church buildings.
I agree too, but maybe... We are saying the idea of churches, if you check in the first, fourth century,
right,
it started in houses.
Right,
you know.
Absolutely.
People were gathering in homes.
Right.
And later on, when they converted their homes to permanent places of worship, that's when we find them being called churches. It has never been a sinful idea.
Well, but they never built buildings, Mfundisi. Remember, our question for today is circling the idea of building these buildings. They're not homes, and I'm okay with the idea of homes being churches, and because the home itself or the building itself is not a church, but the gathering of people in that home is the church. So we could meet under a tree or at the well or wherever we gather, that would be a church. And that's what Paul was writing to. His epistles were written to people gathering in homes, and he was calling them the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, the church at Galatia, and the list goes on. He was not referring to buildings. He was referring to the gathering of people who form the body of Christ. That's a church, not the building. Why are we spending money on buildings, and yet we all see the apostles and their followers using money gathered at these gatherings for charity, not for building? The person who's asking the question is insisting on why are we using it for buildings and not for charity work?
Well, we in every church, I'm not sure where the person asking is from, but
right.
the custom in every church is that we have a charity basket
right.
where you give donations that are specifically specified for charity work. So those will be used for charity work. Then there is also that which is designated for church building or development of churches. Those funds will also be for church development processes. So
and we get that from where? Where do we get that from?
We give to the church. We have the liberty and the right as church members when we give that. My funds, I wish that they work in such and such field.
Where do we get that liberty, Mfundis? I hear you, but where do we get that liberty?
On the issue of, let me clarify, on the issue of building churches, like you were mentioning that there were churches that Asia also actually tells us that the excavations made, that there were places of worship which these people were actually calling churches. And of course, some were homes that were later converted to places of worship. Now, I'm not saying the building of church is more important, of a church building, more important than the priority of helping the need. Now, we should always prioritize the need. But we have to bear in mind that it is also ideal to have a house of worship.
Based on what, Mfundis? Where do we base that on?
Come again?
Where do we base that on? This need to build buildings and call them churches, where do we base that on in our scriptures?
Yeah, on the issue that people who went to worship God in the verses that we used at first, they went to the synagogue, which would be more like a church. It was a place of worshiping. That was a synagogue.
The building of synagogues or shuls, Mfundis, was instructed by rabbis. This is an instruction of rabbinical order, not of script of divine order.
If it was wrong to build the synagogues, Jesus would not have made it his custom to go to the synagogue every Sabbath to worship.
Is the pastor using deductive reasoning now? Or because I would imagine that we're supposed to use inductive reasoning, which is based on evidence in scripture.
Yeah. If it's 17.
Pastor, are you still there? All right, I think our pastor's line has just dipped there, just as it is getting very interesting and instructive. Pastor, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. So I was saying, the deductive reasoning helped us to reach the...
You got... Oh, the pastor... Say that again, Mfundis. You got interrupted again, Mfundis. Please say that again. Deductive reasoning helps us because...
It helps us to reach the basic structure or principles that we as Christians should be believing. Otherwise, everything in the Bible there was written to a people who lived long, long before us.
Right.
But we are applying that to us in similitude of how God dealt with them.
Yeah.
So this is where we are finding the principles that applies to the building of a church. That God, in the old time, he wanted people to build a place of worship for him. He wanted them to have a temple. He wanted them to gather and worship in the sanctuary. And Jesus, being God, he did not come and say, you know, we must not be in the synagogue. He was actually in the synagogue every Sabbath throughout his life.
Yes, because Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was not a Christian, Mfundis. And no one died for Jesus. The temple services were still in full force in his time. Jesus was circumcised. Jesus was a clinical Jew from the...
Okay, let's say Jesus was not a Christian, because a Christian means we are believing in Jesus, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk about Peter and Paul, who believed in Jesus. They were Christians, right?
They never attended synagogues.
They never attended synagogues?
No, there's no evidence of them attending synagogues or temples.
All right, let's check Acts chapter 17,
okay,
verse 2.
Okay.
Acts 17, verse 2.
Yes, Mfundis.
Let me open it, or you can read it for me if you have a Bible with you there.
All right.
It says,
yes, go ahead.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue with them, trying to persuade them. Where was he preaching? every Sabbath in the synagogue.
Sorry for this. Sorry, I think we're making a mistake here. When I go to a Muslim mosque and I reason with my Muslim brothers and sisters there, trying to persuade them, surely that doesn't mean I should now start attending at a mosque. We can't translate my going to a mosque to minister to my Muslim brothers and sisters and then conclude, therefore, I must start worshiping at a mosque. That's what happened there when he was reasoning with his Jewish brothers and sisters. He's a Benjamite trying to infuse reasoning to his fellow Judeo Benjamite Nathanite brothers and sisters. He was not worshiping there. He was reasoning with them there.
Can we take it from verse 2?
Okay, right. Go on.
Verse 2 is, as his custom.
Right.
Paul went into the synagogue. What right. was his custom?
To go and preach.
No, there's no preaching there. Let's say what is in the Bible, in the line that we have read. His custom was to go into the synagogue, right?
To do what, Mfundis?
Wait.
No, read it there. It's written, Mfundis.
So that it will be clear.
Yes, go ahead, Mfundis.
Yes, we have not covered the mission there. We are told that his custom was to go into the synagogue, right?
No, Mfundis, that you are misrepresenting his custom. His custom is encapsulated not only in part A of the verse, or part B for that matter. It's encapsulated in the entire thought. So when you're going to restrict it to just one part of the verse, you're misrepresenting the text, isn't it?
All right. Let's take it step by step so yes. that you get what I'm saying.
I got
the
that.
Bible says,
yes.
His custom, Paul went into the synagogue. So first, his custom was to go into the synagogue.
No, Mfundis, that is not true. That is not true. That okay. is not true. Because his custom was not to go to the synagogue. His custom was to preach wherever gospel needed to be preached. Whether it is a temple or a synagogue or the streets, we see Paul, his custom was to preach all over.
Can I read what the Bible is actually saying?
It yes,
saying,
and not add your own, Mfundis. Go ahead.
But mine is saying, as his custom, Paul went into the synagogue.
Right.
And in three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from
yes,
the scriptures.
Absolutely.
So you can't say it is your
continue,
custom.
Continue reading, Mfundis.
Three times there, but his custom was to go to the church every Sabbath. But he was given a chance to preach three times. This is what the verse is saying here.
It continues, Mfundis, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas and did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quit a few and quite a few prominent women. So there, he was there to preach to them about Christ. These were not Christians. These are not fellow believers. He was not worshiping with them. He was converting them. Are you still there, my pastor?
Hello.
I'm here. All right, pastor. I understand. I'm realizing now. I've just received message that we have gone beyond our time. I don't want to keep you longer than I've already done so. But I really appreciate it. Enjoyed your discourse and funness. You're opening up my mind in a number of things. Thank you very much for answering our question. I'm looking forward to your answer tomorrow. Thank you very much, Mfundis.
Thank you very much. Be blessed.
Brilliant stuff. Wow. All right, I enjoyed this. This was Pastor Eric Ticharwa. Now there's a pastor who's pulling the punches no more as I'm pulling the punches. And I'm grateful to have such an open-minded pastor to be able to educate me. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to be educated some more tomorrow.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.